RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is Mark Grody. The G&G Music Factory, or Sports Factory, I should say. Hanging out on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Going to be talking a lot of Bears football. Bears taking on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, 3:25 p.m., Jordan Love, Justin Fields, no Christian Watson. Again, we'll get into all that in just a second. We'll be talking Hub Arkish in about 20 minutes from right now. But Groats, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? Good to see you.
I know. I feel like we had a heavy run of shows together, and then it's like the principal separated us, you know? Like you got your partner that you do all your science projects with, and then the teacher's like, all right, enough of that.
Yeah,
you two need to be split up.
They're like, you two are thick as thieves, I tell you.
Or one teacher sends the nice kid on a project, and that's what happened when you got sent to Bears project.
I'm the nice kid.
Well,
I mean, I'll accept that. I'm surprised. You knowing me,
yeah,
pretty well from all our shows. I mean, I'm not always nice.
I know myself. So yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sure if you were saying the same descriptor, you'd probably call me the nice guy.
Probably.
Because you know yourself.
We could trade bad guy notes another time.
Another time. You know? But let's talk about some good guy notes. Good guy in the form of Jameson Taillon pitching for the Cubs today. Cubs falling to the Arizona Diamondbacks 1-0, losing the second straight game to the Diamondbacks after sweeping the Giants. But lots to talk about. Rossi had himself a nice little post-game media session, but let's talk about the game itself, and let's talk specifically about a couple of guys that, you know, have been dominating headlines for the Cubs over the last couple of weeks, and that is Jameson Taillon, that is Asaiah Suzuki, that is an Ian Happ. I'm curious thoughts about those guys and thoughts on the game today as a whole, Groats.
Well, I will say about Asaiah Suzuki that what a great job by the Cubs. What a great job by the Cubs. I'll just make David Ross. I will circle him. And I know that Jed Hoyer probably had conversations with him. This is a prize piece to the Cubs, Asaiah Suzuki. He's a guy that they had to bid for. And I know he's relatively good contract and all that. But he's a guy that Jed Hoyer expects to be a corner piece to this team. The guy has struggled. He has underachieved overall. Some of it injury, a fast start to his career, and then it seems like it has been tailing off since then. So finally, the Cubs made a tough decision on him. And that's what managers do. You know, I get tired of people who say, what is the manager supposed to do? Go out there and hit for Asaiah Suzuki? No, you're supposed to do what you did with Asaiah Suzuki. You benched him. You put him in a different spot in the lineup. And I'm not saying that there's a direct correlation to how hot he has gotten and continues to be, but they dealt with it. So that's the guy that I would circle, like, of those guys and the revelation that has been him recently. As for today's game, I tell you what, I'm still in the mindset watching that game specifically, where I just don't expect 1-0 games
anymore.
And I don't expect 1-0 games. And I also have come to expect the Cubs to come up with big late runs, something they weren't doing earlier in the season, and they didn't do it today. The pitchers were outstanding, obviously. Zach Gallen was even better today than Jameson Taillon, who was absolutely outstanding. And we'll get to David Ross and the mini controversy that exists with that as well. But I want to circle one other guy in this game that was the reason for Arizona winning. And it was a guy that you should like, because his name is Gabriel. Gabriel Marino is the catcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he is to be reckoned with. He is an old school, throw your ass out at second base catcher, and he got Mastroboni and Suzuki today, and in a one-run game, I don't have to explain to anybody how massive that is. And they knew that this guy was great. I actually didn't have a problem with the Cubs running. I mean, no. I still
got to find offense somewhere.
You got to find offense somewhere in a one-run game in a pennant race, but you know, you just got to give it up to that guy Marino, who is fun to watch, and I hate to say that.
Yeah, got Suzuki in the seventh, got Mastroboni in the first. I mean, you want to be aggressive, most certainly, and you got to generate runs somehow, especially when you only have three hits on the day.
I got no issues.
So you
got
to do it. You got to make it happen, and you got to tip your cap to a good catcher that can get himself out there and make the throws. I mean, you saw Miguel Amaya do it, you know, over the course of the weekend, had some really good throws down to second base. Even on, I think it was like there was one in particular where Jordan Wicks threw his changeup. So, you know, great pitch to steal on. And Amaya, even though he reared back, like where you're supposed to catch that and let it go, he like catches the changeup, rears back, throws it, makes a great throw, and the play's there. So you tip your cap to guys in those situations. But a one-inning matchup, those just sting because it sucks because I know what this is like, where you find yourself in a situation where you're making the playoffs, you're locked in, you go up against a team that's behind you in the Giants, you sweep them, you feel good, and the fan base is extremely confident, like, oh man, we are better than all of those teams down there, and we have solidified ourselves in this playoff position. And then you go up against the Diamondbacks with supreme confidence. Like, oh, this is just another team that is below us in the wild card standings. And then they come and smack you up two times real quick.
Yeah, and they're starting to feel good. They're 74-68. And yeah, the Diamondbacks are feeling, but I will say this, man. Like, this is where you got to trust this team, and this is where I haven't trust the team
earlier.
What do you mean? I'll tell you specifically. Remember when they had those two awful losses in Cincinnati, the back-to-back walk-off wins for the Reds, and
hurt.
It just hurt like hell. Then the Cubs come back and win the next game of that series. Right after those two just sports tragic losses. They really were. I mean, they just felt awful. Wrong team, wrong time. Everything about that was just catastrophic watching it, if you are a Cubs fan. There's no doubt about it. But then they win the next game, and then then it's the Giants series, right? So they rebounded big time from that. And now they've hit the skid again. So here we are. And I'm not sure. Like, I'm working through this in real time. There's still a part of me that's like, uh-oh, is this where the Cubs, this team that we're all on found money watching, is going to come back to reality, and they're going to lose seven in a row, and we're all going to be like, oh, man, that was fun. But
I didn't even think about that.
That's still where my brain goes. I wonder if other Cubs fans' brains go to that place of you still aren't sure whether or not you trust this team.
I'll say it as an outsider. The team is most certainly in the Carlos Boozer range. And what I mean by that is the worst of the best teams and the best of the worst teams. Because that's a Carlos Boozer range. That's my okay. He was the best of all, like, the worst players in the NBA. He would be a top of all the worst. But then he'd be the worst of all the best players.
Well, to your point, when they signed him, wasn't that the LeBron?
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like, all right, Boozer.
This is who we got.
Yeah.
This is what we got.
It didn't happen. Call Boozer.
So the Cubs, I hate to use that reference,
but you're right.
We know that they are there, and it's just a matter of should Arizona be a team that is, you know, or that Chicago is better than as opposed to worse than in the top tier teams. So if they can pull out the next two, you know, finish 500 against Arizona, that's going to be sitting, you know, Justin Steele's on the bump tomorrow. You're feeling good about that.
Yes. Yes. The Cubs are very much due for a win in this series. And if we study the recent history, the recent game log of the Chicago Cubs, when bad things happen, they bounce back.
Yeah.
And again, the Reds was tough to take, man. because they certainly didn't bounce back the next night, but they did to get that win and then do what they've done since then up until now. Impressive.
Kyle Hendricks on the bump on Sunday.
Yeah.
Going up against Brandon Fatt. I just wanted to say
that.
1-8 on the season with a 6.27.
Yeah, ERA. Well, Brandon Fatt. I mean, you're not going to.
Fat is the ERA.
Come on, man.
The amount of losses.
Well, right. I mean, if you're going to be fat like that, you can't.
Fat is how the pitches look as they're crossing the plate because you're 1-8 with a 6.27 ERA.
There you go. We're G&G, man.
I'm trying to give Cubs fans light at the end of the tunnel. Okay. Like, hey, it's all good. You're not going to lose four straight to the Arizona
Diamondbacks. Well, I don't know if everybody's like me. I mean, I'd love to hear from Cubs. Like, text us, 312-644-6767. Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Do you completely trust the Cubs? That's my question. I'm trying to enjoy it. I really am.
But trust them to do what?
Trust them
to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Make the playoffs.
When you look at the rest of their schedule, like I said, I have complete faith that they'll split against Arizona, especially with Steele and Hendricks on the bump against Mr. Fatt on Sunday.
Mr. Fatt.
Then you go three against Colorado. Should take two out of three.
Yeah.
Should.
Wait, that's it. That's home
nope.
or?
Nope.
That's at Colorado.
At Colorado.
Okay,
that's still it. Should take two out of three there.
Yeah.
Then you go back in a three-game set at Arizona. But then three against Pittsburgh, and then three more at Colorado. And then you have a nice little six-game gauntlet against Atlanta and Milwaukee.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't trust the schedule. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You have to look at the Colorado.
Saying, like,
a bad
even if you're
team.
Playing 500 baseball,
yeah,
you're more than likely going to. To the two-game lead in the wild card. I'm sorry, but your question was, how confident are you?
How confident are you, and do you? I think, moreover, do you trust the Cubs to make the playoffs?
Yeah,
you trust this team to make the playoffs? Are you there? Are you? Because it's been a. I mean, I don't blame people if they don't. It's been a roller coaster.
But the
year.
Teams that are chasing you, you know, you have Cincinnati. They're going to play 500 ball.
Right.
Miami 500 ball. You've already seen San Francisco as a topsy-turvy team. So, I think when you look at it from that perspective, you say to yourself, "Yeah, I'm confident that." All those teams are equally as mediocre or could be equally as mediocre.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a great point because when inevitably, when you play a bad team, they're going to give you one game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're going to give, whether it's a horrible bullpen day, errors. I mean, that's the big thing. You can tell when you watch the bad teams, there's no like mystery. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You just see bad plays that cost bad teams.
I think the saddest part about the losing the first two games is that going into the series, the Cubs were a game and a half behind Milwaukee.
Yes.
And it seemed
that
as though
part
they were
was
right there.
Good. Yes.
And that
yes.
felt good. And then
it really did.
So you lose two. I mean, you're still there, but you lose two, and then that's what makes you feel a different kind of way. But ultimately, you're still 2.5 out. You lost two games, only lost a game. Still feel good. I would still feel good. 2.5 out.
I do. I mean, I just gave.
You feel like the Cubs are on their way out.
No, I don't.
You think a 7-game losing streak is around the corner?
I'm working through it. I just gave the play-by-play history. No, I definitely think Justin Steele will win tomorrow. Look, I will never, ever, don't you dare. Well, I will never
bet. He's had a hot streak. Is that what are you saying?
Justin Steele again in my life.
Maybe he's been too hot?
In
like
my
maybe
life.
The Cy Young streak comes to an end?
No, I don't. I think that even if he doesn't have as dominant of, he's not going to have as dominant of a performance in this game as he did in the last.
Oh!
Did I just make another proclamation?
Oh!
What am I doing?
My Grody,
he's
backpedaling.
But he's going to win. You know, he's had several starts where, and this is a nod to Justin Steele, where he doesn't have great stuff where it's a struggle, but much like the Cubs, he'll walk a couple guys back to back and then he'll strike out the next two guys. So he may be symbolic of this entire Cubs team. See what I did right there? That was good.
He's a good
that was
nice
really
little,
good.
It was an oval, but
wow.
it wasn't a
did you
circle.
Get that, Leo? Put that in the promo. That was wow.
Try to cut it. The proclamation.
No, we need something different. Yeah. I just like
all right.
Just the radio that just occurred right there.
All right. There's more radio occurring in just a little bit. Hub Arkish is going to hang out with us, talk a little bit of Bears football as they look to take on the Green Bay Packers. And don't forget, before Chicago takes on Green Bay in the season opener, you could tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for the PNC Bank pregame show presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins, Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley. They're all going to get you set for that week one showdown, PNC, the official bank of the Chicago Bears. Then immediately following the game, The Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. Molly Olenkreutz, Patrick Manley are going to have instant reactions to the season opener. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. And if you got the Odyssey app, then stick around, because when we come back, Hub Arcus will join the show to talk some Bears football on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, hello?
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody, right here on a Friday as the sun is going down. It's just so romantic. Setting the tone for our next guest.
Let's get romantic with Hub Arkish, ladies and gentlemen. What are we doing?
Let me go ahead and throw a wrench in that setup right there. Monday, you could tune in all day for 19 straight hours of reaction to the season opener. Chuck Swirsky. He's going to be live overnight from 12 to 5 a.m.
That's so awesome that he's doing that. I am so pleased with the decision.
Followed by Mulligan Hall, then Bernstein and Holmes, of course, Parkins and Spiegel throughout your workday. And it's capped off by none other than Mark Grody. He's looking at me like, who? That's so funny. I tell Mark that he works more often than he tells himself. Monday, it'll be Mark Grody because I'm supposed to be doing pre and post for the Cubs.
Oh, nice. What do you mean, eh?
I have our radio station softball playoffs that day.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm working on that.
Wow, you've come a long way. You used to really appreciate that booth, and all of a sudden you're like, I might go play for my company softball team instead. I got these tires to sell.
It's a road game, so I'm supposed to be here in the station.
Oh, it is? Oh, of course. I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking it was Wrigley.
So hang out with us on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank. And it's not a game, Illinois.com. All of it can be heard right here on 670 The Score. And the free Odyssey app. Reminded that Busey is the bank that you need to be checking out. All right. Right now, joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is our great friend, someone you love hearing from when talking about the Chicago Bears. It is none other than Hub Arkish. Hub, happy Friday. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Great to be with you tonight.
So, leading on Bears football on Sunday, when you're trying to put this on the spectrum of Bears opening weekends in terms of excitement, Hub, where does this fall? Is it right smack in the middle for you?
Well, I think it's a little more exciting than usual because, you know, they are underneath, or at least they've begun, I should say, a clear rebuild, and they've made a lot of changes. There's a lot of key players on both sides of the football that we're going to see really for the first time Sunday. I mean, I know we've seen them, but we're going to see them play football for the first time on Sunday. And that's exciting. You know, I think that they were better than 3-14 last year. They very easily could have won at least four more games with just two or three plays in the fourth quarter. They didn't. They were the worst team in the NFL. But on top of that, they've added a lot of talent, some key people on both sides of the football. And so it's going to be really exciting to see how much they can get done in this first year. Anybody who thinks they're going to the Super Bowl is kidding themselves. But, you know, in this division, who knows what could happen. And, you know, Sunday is the key because, you know, nothing bigger than Bears Packers. What a great one to start with. And I don't know that the Packers at this point, also in a rebuild, are as talented as the Bears are.
That's interesting. So obviously the Bears are in a rebuild, no matter whether they want to use the word or not. You are correct. But you think the Packers are in a rebuild as well, Hub, as in they could be the 5-win team this year?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not predicting anything until about week 3 or week 4. We get a better sense because everybody takes the preseason off these days. But, you know, I think the key with the Packers, the first time in 32 years, they won't have a Hall of Famer playing quarterback. And so that's a rebuild. You know, that's starting over. You know, we don't know what they have in Jordan Love. They don't know what they have in Jordan Love. And then you look at the rest of the roster and you look at the changes they've made. And yeah, I think that actually their off season and the way they're preparing for this year is really not that different from the way the Bears have gone through the off season and are preparing.
Well, Hub, we know what they're going to lean on, right? If Christian Watson isn't playing, and even if he was, I'm certain they probably lean on the run anyway, with their two-headed monster, regardless of the fact that they're another year into the system. What do you expect from this Bears defense? I mean, obviously you mentioned, you know, additions and the team getting better in certain areas, but is this Bears team going to be able to, I don't want to say stop the run of the Green Bay Packers, but limit it to the point where they can get ahead of it?
Well, you know, guys, I think that the new bodies, let's start on defense because that's what we're talking about now. And they're the key. I mean, obviously you've got the draft choices and we don't know about those guys until we get to later, at least in their first season. But we know right now what we think we're getting in Yannick Ngakoue. And of course, DeMarcus Walker, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Andrew Billings. Those five guys are the key to the early improvement of this defense. They're all pretty good NFL players. You know, Nuke, if he was a complete player, might be a great defensive end, but he does struggle a little bit, you know, as far as playing the run. And so I don't know that they have a Hall of Famer, not a Hall of Famer. I don't even know if they have a Pro Bowler on defense, but those five guys could make a big difference. And I think specifically against the run and in the pass rush, that's what it was all about. I expect the defense against the run to get better more quickly than the pass rush. That's going to take, you know, a couple weeks for these guys to get used to each other and how they're going to do this. But I think that it should lead to significant improvement in defense and specifically in the run defense.
We know that Green Bay has, at least in theory, a really good offensive line because, you know, assuming that, you know, and David Bakhtiari actually was taken off the injury report, he is scheduled to play. It's a really good offensive line that returns most of their guys from last year when they were good as well. But I'm looking at, and which gives them, a decided advantage in the game, as Gabe mentioning, you know, Aaron Jones and Rashawn Gary. But, Hub, this is my long-winded way of asking, what about the Bears' offensive line? And what should we realistically expect from what is not the offensive line we expected when OTA started this year?
Well, you know, I think really the only big change from when they started is locking Cody Whitehair in at center, and now he's going to be at left guard because of the injury. But other than that,
well, Lucas Patrick playing center is a pretty big deal, I think.
Well, yeah, but it's what you got. I mean, you got no choice at this point.
Well, right.
I think that they decided that Patrick at center was going to be better than any backup guard they were going to get, as opposed to Cody Whitehair. And then, you know, you don't know what you got of Nate Davis and Darnell Wright. You know, those are the scary things.
Yeah.
You know, because Wright, I think, is going to be a very good football player. I just wish he hadn't gotten hurt, you know, late in training camp. And I think we're all kind of wondering what's going on with Nate Davis at this point. But the bottom line is that, you know, the Bears' offensive line, I think, is going to be much improved. You know, I don't know if the whole offense will be, but I do think the offensive line will be. And then, you know, we were talking, but you mentioned, you know, the Packers have got a pretty good offensive line,
yeah,
and we expect them to do well. So I've got the wrong combination here. That comparing the two offensive lines doesn't really help you. But when you look at that Packers offensive line and what the Bears have done to improve their defensive line, I think it gives the Bears a better matchup. But there's no question that you got to give an edge in the running game. When you look at the Bears' run defense last year, and particularly their defensive line, you got to give that edge to Green Bay. But what you don't have is Aaron Rodgers. And you don't know what Jordan Love is going to give them. You don't know what the passing game looks like. They're not exciting at wide receiver. And so, you know, I prefer to look at it more as defense against offense as opposed to just picking one group. And so this goes back to where I started. We just don't know these two teams yet, and that's what makes it so hard to try and predict anything for Sunday. But I will predict improvement on both sides of the ball for the Bears. And for the Packers, you know, they've got to win this game with their defense. They've got to win this game running the football and with their defense. And that's what I'm sure Matt Eberflus has been working all week to come up with a plan to stop.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, Hub, it's easy to run the ball and look good when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, right? You have to be mindful of him, you know, throwing the ball. We're talking to Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Mark Grody. Talk to me about the running backs of the Chicago Bears, Hub. When you look at them, obviously a lot of people high on Khalil Herbert from his successes of last year. Deontay Foreman, I think he's going to be great for the Chicago Bears and the way he runs and what he can really give this team in the red zone. But I'm not necessarily sure what that distribution is going to look like.
Well, I don't think the Bears are sure, to be honest with you. But my suspicion is that Khalil Herbert ends up as your starting running back and your primary guy, and Deontay Foreman good in certain spots and to fill in and maybe take a couple possessions in a row to give Herbert a little rest. But when you look at Khalil Herbert last year with over 800 yards, and he led the NFL in average yards per carry by a running back at 5.7 per carry, you know that he's a big play guy waiting to happen. The problem the first couple of years for Herbert is that he hasn't really developed as a blocker, and he hasn't been much of a factor in the passing game. They've spent a lot of time at training camp. We haven't seen a lot of camp. I've been at almost every practice, and they have spent a lot of time working on him catching the ball and in the passing game. And I think if they feel they can count on Herbert in any situation, he's your starting running back that they're going to rely on, because you want that 5.7 yards a pop, you know, on the ground. Now, Foreman had his best year last year. He rushed for 900 yards, but he's a big, strong guy. He's going to be your short yardage guy. And I think early on, they're probably going to share equal time until they see which one is producing more. And that could change from week to week. But over the course of the season, I think their hope is that Khalil Herbert becomes a legitimate number one back, and then Foreman becomes your 1B or your number two. And that leaves them in pretty good shape. And let's not forget, Roshon Johnson is going to get snaps, guys. Yeah. You know, they think that he could be a factor too. And the Bears, now this gets misleading when we talk about the Bears leading the NFL in rushing last year, which they did, but that's because their quarterback rushed for 1,100 yards. And so that, you know, that you've got to be careful when you get too excited about that. They want Fields to run less because it will help him get better as a passer, but you don't want to take away his greatest, you know, talent. And so it's not like you're not going to let him run the football. And so when we look on that side for the Bears, I think Herbert will be the number one at running back. I think Foreman will be a very good number two. And how much Fields runs is going to dictate how much better they get throwing the football. And more than that, you know, how much the offense can hang onto the ball and keep their defense off the field.
Hub, I don't know which cap I want you to put on for this, so I'm going to allow you to put either one on, either from a fan's perspective or from objective reporter standpoint. Whatever standpoint you want, Hub, are you glad Aaron Rodgers is gone from the division?
Well, guys, I've spent over 40 years trying to focus on making sure that I'm, you know, putting an objective perspective on first, and I could care less whether Rodgers is here or gone. You know, it's just the team that they're playing this year. It's the Packers. I'm not a Packers fan. I cover them. I cover all 32 teams. And I think it's hard to know with Rodgers, because he was not Aaron Rodgers last year, and particularly not the second half of the season. But we know he was playing hurt. We know probably with several injuries. And so, you know, there's a side of me that I'm happy for Bears fans, because the Packers clearly aren't as good, at least at this stage, you know, with Jordan Love at quarterback instead of Aaron Rodgers. But the flip side of it is that you've got a lockdown Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and you're not going to get to see him twice a year. And, you know, beating him, I think, would feel good for the Bears, and I think would feel good for their fans. So I don't really care to focus on that. I mean, you know, I'm more curious what Rodgers is going to do for the Jets. And the question is, how much has he got left at 39 years old? Was it just that he was playing hurt last year, or is he starting to digress the way, you know, 39-year-olds do at this game? So I certainly won't miss him. And, you know, there's this, it's just not true. There's this idea that me and Rodgers have some history. It was one thing I said, you know, in the 17th year of his career, and we went back and forth for a day or two. I prefer to focus on football players, and Rodgers is a great football player. And so, you know, it'll be disappointing not to have a chance to beat him twice this year.
Yeah, That'd be nice. It was just never going to happen, though. It was just never going to happen. The Bears just were never going to unseat Aaron Rodgers without him going someplace else on his own.
Yeah. That's why there needed to be. I'm Bears Unleashed tonight, Fox 32.
Yeah.
We have to give this one word explanation of what we think is going to describe the game. And I used repossession.
Oh, I like it.
I said if Aaron Rodgers had ownership of the Bears, then maybe on Sunday we get to repo the ownership.
Unless they lose the damn game. And then you got nothing.
That's what we're hoping doesn't happen, because that's everyone's biggest nightmare, is that the Bears do put themselves in a situation. But if the Bears lose and Justin Fields plays well, is it like last year where it's still a victory?
Well, I guess it depends on who we're talking to and what they're thinking. I never felt that there was anything that was, a victory last year. That just went the wrong way, and it got worse as the season went on. And my answer to your question would be, I guess it is a victory if Justin Fields plays well, because that's your biggest concern. You're trying to find out, do you have a quarterback or not? And if he can go out in the opener and look better than he did last year, significantly better, and the offense is productive, if they still find a way to lose, we're going to be disappointed. But the bottom line is that you're going to feel pretty good about that. My biggest frustration with this offseason has been the way most NFL teams, not just the Bears, are handling training camps. And we just didn't see anything from Fields. And what we saw, and as I said, I was at almost every practice, he didn't have a particularly good training camp. He didn't look much better in practice on most days than he did last year. But I don't want to make too much of that, because, we only know what they're showing. And you're seeing them play against second and third stringers half the time. So that's why you've got to get these first couple games in. But if Fields plays well and the Bears still lose Sunday, I don't think most fans are going to take that as a victory, but I think they're going to feel good about seeing Fields play well. So we're really going to have to, early in the season, we're going to have to watch him two ways. We're going to have to watch how is Justin Fields developing and how is the team getting better. And I think we have to, treat them each separately.
Hub, I appreciate you, man. I think that's a great point. It'll be interesting to see, and I think we're all going to be watching to see if it's a win-win situation or lose-lose situation.
Oh, man. It's a must-win, guys.
It's a must-win.
I'm sorry. I stand by my silliness.
Hub, thanks for joining us. Have a great evening, okay?
You guys have a good night, too.
See ya.
Hub Arkish joining us here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. Is it a win?
It's such a great question. If it was another team, I would say yes.
What do you mean if it was another team?
Let's say the Bears were playing Tampa Bay at Soldier Field, and they lose to Tampa Bay, but Justin Fields throws for 300 yards. That would feel like a win.
Leo,
is that what you were asking?
Leo, open up the phone lines right now. Open up the phones. That is what I'm asking, because I'm thinking to myself.
But Green Bay,
what if it's not Justin's fault? What if the defense continues to be mediocre or
bad?
Less than?
Yeah, but just bad.
What if Velus Jones fumbles a punt, and Justin Fields goes 22 for 28, 2 tutties, no interceptions, and 80 rushing yards.
How many passing yards did you say?
Did I say 220?
Did you just say 220? Okay.
220.
Yeah, okay. I'm listening.
Let's bump it up.
I didn't mean to make you bump. I wasn't trying to put pressure on you, man.
No, because 220 is last year's stats.
Okay.
He went over 200 yards twice and is barely over 200.
Okay, so
give me something to feel good about.
Okay, 240.
257.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah,
okay.
257.
Okay.
257, mm-hmm. 2 tutties, no interceptions, Bears lose to the Packers. 27-21, Bears lose. Khalil Herbert gets a tutty, Justin Fields throws for 2, DJ Moore gets 1, Cole Kmet gets 1, 257, Bears lose, though. Do you feel, is that a win for you in your mind? 312-644-6767, going to get Mark Grody's answer.
I do have a question, and I think this is fair.
Okay, I'm
ready. This is a fair question.
I knew you would only stop me if it was important.
I have only one question, and I would need that answer, and then I will give you an instant reaction. What kind of a day does Jordan Love have? Does he outplay Justin Fields?
Okay.
Am I being a pain in the ass just not answering the question?
This is great, because this is all we can think about before Bears football.
Yeah, so that's my conversation piece to that. That's my very important question.
All right, 312-644-6767. Is it a win if Justin Fields plays well on Sunday, but the Bears lose to the Packers? We'll take your calls after the break, and then I'll answer Mark Grody's question so he can answer mine next. It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Taking your phone calls right now, Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. We are asking, is it a win if Justin Fields has an above-average game, namely 257 yards, two touchdowns, one to DJ Moore, one to Cole Kmet, 80 yards rushing, but the Bears lose. Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. And Mark Grody's question before we get to the phone calls was, does Jordan Love have a good day? Yes. That's how they win. 28-21. Jordan Love, you know, has a couple Luke Musgrave touchdowns. And
man, you're going right in on the rookie, huh?
Couple. I picked him up on my fantasy team.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah. You know me.
It's always about you.
Most certainly. Yeah. What else? Yeah. What else could it be about? I'm in a room by myself talking to myself and you. That's it. I didn't even see nobody else.
I understand.
That's why I asked for phone calls.
I wasn't criticizing you. I didn't need all that explanation.
So Jordan Love's there. Now that you do have the explanation.
Yeah. Now I do have the explanation. So that means that he played well. Guess what, folks? It's not a win. It's not a win. Look, it's a... optics, man.
257?
I'm sorry. It's not a win. It is.
Two tutties, no interceptions.
It's not something you just
126 QBR?
It's not something you just dismiss, but a loss to Green Bay on Sunday just would be just horrid. It would be just because of what we're talking about. We're talking about Jordan Love. We're not talking about Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. This is that very
But maybe he has a good day because the Bears defense sucks. Not maybe. The Bears defense is still middle of the road.
Look, and that's all and we'll zero in on it, but I'm saying in the moment when that happens and Jordan Love is going over to the cameras and getting interviewed by Kevin Burkhardt and those guys and like whoever's doing the sidelines that day and he's the star of the show, that optic, man, that is unhealthy. And hey, I love the numbers you gave for Justin Fields. I mean, that would be ideal for him. I mean, that's like the dream package for him. Like, you know, 270, 80 yards rushing, whatever you said. I mean, that's 257. I'm a rounder. You know that about me. I like
that'd be 260.
Round up. But guess what? We're also in this. Oh, yeah, it would be 260.
I got you, bro. That's why we're a good team, bro.
Checkmate. Checkmate. But this is one of those things that only happens every 20 years for the Bears. You have the opportunity. I mean, there was some of this after Brett Favre. It was like, okay, that, you know, it's not Aaron Rodgers, not good. He's not here yet. Is there a chance? Nope, not a chance. Not a chance. Aaron Rodgers is great. But now we're in the window, Gabe. We're all in this window together. So I don't know. Maybe if he throws for 400, then we can talk. If you could allow me to up the ante just a little bit, I would do that because there's only so many Bears quarterbacks ever that have thrown for 400 yards.
I think there was only like 7 400-yard games last year.
Jim Miller being one of them in Bears history to throw for 400.
Shout out Jim Miller. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Harold out in Romeoville. Harold, if Justin Fields has an above-average game but the Bears lose to the Packers, is that still a win?
Justin Fields threw 514 yards and the Bears lost, it's still an L. The only team that can lose this year and be a W for the Bears is if the Panthers lose, right? This is the Packers, Jordan Love. It's a referendum on who is the next quarterback up in the NFC North.
It is a referendum. It's a great call. It's a great point by you all around right there.
Accountability, and I like it. We got to be accountable. If we're going to lose, we're going to lose. Justin Fields, it's a team. I like that. Okay. Because that's what he's saying, ultimately, right?
Loss is loss. And
504. Because let me tell you something. If Justin Fields throws for 514 yards, that's a win for me.
That is so true.
that's a dub.
Well, yeah, I got to say that's a win for me,
Bears,
too.
Super Bowl.
I appreciated the call.
Like 514 yards?
He was right, though, about the Carolina thing.
That's
Carolina
the only
losses.
One that's a loss. Yeah, you're right.
I feel bad for Carolina, like that they have to.
Why?
Like, imagine that. Like, think about an entire fan base rooting against a whole city, and we're not one of the small cities, rooting bad things for your football
team.
There's
going to be Bears fans in Carolina going to games.
You're absolutely right.
Cheering for them when they lose against every
100%.
Team. 100%.
Awesome. And they're going to be like, what do we do?
Let's go to Josh out in West Loop. Josh, you should be partying, dude. It's like 7 o'clock. It's like the best time to be in the West Loop.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
Is it a win or is it a loss if Justin Fields plays well, but the Bears lose?
Nah, I got to say, he could throw for like 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns, and it would still be an L. Even more just because it's Jordan Love, man. Like, I was telling your guy, I was like, man, I was listening to the one time when Jordan Love, he started the first game for Aaron Rodgers. Chris Collinsworth, man, he wouldn't go to bat for him. He was like, oh, this guy's a nice guy. You know, this guy got all the skills. That's all you need to know. I can throw you stats. I can throw you whatever. That's all you need to know, man.
All you need to know.
You're in love. You might as well retire.
Damn, that sucks, man. Josh sounded like he was at the gym.
Right oh.
there, West Loop Athletic Club. Heard Wade's smacking around over there.
We sure that wasn't a former NFL tight end that works with you occasionally here at the Score?
Clay Harbor was with them. Maybe put on a little accent.
That was Clay Harbor. Pumping the irons. He's win. Never without an iron in his hand, is he?
A win is a win.
Yeah.
You got a little loss is a loss. I get a thousand. Come on, guys. A thousand. Let's be very real. When you're going to call in, I understand the argument that you're making, but you cannot see 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns. Because if Justin Fields has 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns, that's a win, bro.
Yeah, now we're getting crazy.
We
here.
Have a good quarterback.
We done hands. Lost our minds here.
And our defense is horrible.
Yeah.
If he throws.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do hope that if that happens, where in your scenario here.
Because what if it's a close game, Groats? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, that
like,
is a close game.
That is a close
27-21.
Game.
27-21. I mean, I'm thinking that there's late consequences in that game.
Defense is.
Oh, here's another caveat I just thought of.
I love these.
What if, here's what would also make it, because I've given you my answer, it's not a win, but I'll even add this, because this is the real nightmare. It's not just Jordan Love outplays Justin Fields because they win. What if it's a late touchdown?
By Jordan Love?
Yeah, like a late touchdown drive, like what Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre did for 3 decades. I keep adding decades. Is it 3 decades? How long? Yeah, that's not wrong. It's not wrong.
Okay, you're adding some good ones in here.
I am adding some good ones. So that's why I am...
When you add good ones, it makes me want to increase Justin Fields' performance.
Hmm.
Even though Josh and others have said it doesn't matter if he throws for 500 yards. But
I'm not with that. Because if Justin Fields... for 500 yards, then there's no way the Bears are only scoring 20. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But if you... All right, let's go to Nick in Rock Falls. Nick, talk me out of this, because I think if Justin Fields has a good game... I have faith in Eberflus and the coaching staff to adjust. And, you know, if you lose the first game, it doesn't necessarily take you out of playoff contention. But if Jordan Love beats Justin Fields, is that a loss for you no matter what?
I think that at this point with Bears football, it's about legacy. There's a new quarterback in town in the Green Bay, and I just feel like if you start off with a loss in week one against the Packers – it's just even if Justin Fields throws, I feel like a realistic stat line for him is like 300 yards and like 50 rushing with 2 or 3 touchdowns, one even by him rushing. I just don't see it. Even if he plays like that, I just don't think that that's a good way to start your season out, especially a division rival.
All right, thanks for the call. I got to be honest, guys, and this is something that is shocking to me. I will be sad if the Bears lose to the Packers on Sunday. Like sad, like legit sad. Like don't talk to me on Monday sad, right? But I genuinely, as I'm hearing these numbers, like Nick just pointed out, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. If the Bears lose to the Packers on Sunday, and I get it, the start of something new, right? You want to feel good about the direction you're headed in. But damn, we should be concerned about Justin Fields and his progression. And if he puts on a performance like that, so be it. Bears still have another offseason to improve their team around Justin Fields. And I can't see myself being that sad. Sad because, like everyone's saying, it's the start of something new and Jordan Love and blah, blah. But happy still that Justin Fields had 300 yards and 3 TDs.
Well, what's going on is what I knew would happen. I think I've talked about it with you several times, that no matter what happened last year, no matter how bad the reports have been throughout this training camp, no matter what the common sense expectations are for the team, which would be the 3 or 4 or 5 more wins, Bears fans expect to win. They expect to win.
I have been saying that too.
I have been saying that, and we have arrived. My people
Bears
are out tonight, man.
Bears are 3-5. It's going to be a problem, Gabe.
It's going to be a problem.
That's exactly what
Thank you. I appreciate you remembering
okay.
that.
I
Thank
do.
You.
I remember even the record as well. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Would love to hear your Bears thoughts. Want to take them for a little bit more. We're going to play some audio as well from the guys before we head on out to our next segment. But again, 312-644-6767. Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez, taking your Bears thoughts after the break here on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Taking your phone calls right now, Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. We are asking, is it a win if Justin Fields has an above average game, namely 257 yards, two touchdowns, one to DJ Moore, one to Cole Kmet, 80 yards rushing, but the Bears lose? Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. And Mark Grody's question before we get to the phone calls was, does Jordan Love have a good day? Yes. That's how they win. 28-21. Jordan Love, you know, has a couple Luke Musgrave touchdowns. And
man, you're going right in on the rookie, huh?
Couple. I picked him up on my fantasy team.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah. You know me.
It's always about you.
Most certainly. Yeah. What else? Yeah. What else could it be about? I'm in a room by myself talking to myself and you. That's it. I didn't even see nobody else.
I understand.
That's why I asked for phone calls.
I wasn't criticizing you. I didn't need all that explanation.
So Jordan Love's there. Now that you do have the explanation.
Yeah. Now I do have the explanation. So that means that he played well. Guess what, folks? It's not a win. It's not a win. Look, it's a... optics, man.
257?
I'm sorry. It's not a win. It is.
Two tutties, no interceptions.
It's not something you just
126 QBR?
It's not something you just dismiss, but a loss to Green Bay on Sunday just would be just horrid. It would be just because of what we're talking about. We're talking about Jordan Love. We're not talking about Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. This is that very
But maybe he has a good day because the Bears defense sucks. Not maybe. The Bears defense is still...
Yeah,
middle of the road.
Look, and that's all and we'll zero in on. But I'm saying in the moment when that happens, and Jordan Love is going over to the cameras and getting interviewed by Kevin Burkhardt and those guys, and like whoever's doing the sidelines that day, and he's the star of the show. That optic, man, that is unhealthy. And hey, I love the numbers you gave for Justin Fields. I mean, that would be ideal for him. I mean, that's like the dream package for him. Like, you know, 270, 80 yards rushing, whatever you said. I mean, that's 257. I'm a rounder. You know that about me. I like
that'd be 260.
Round up. But guess what? We're also in this. Oh, yeah, it would be 260.
I got you, bro. That's why we're a good team, bro.
Checkmate. Checkmate. But this is one of those things that only happens every 20 years for the Bears. You have the opportunity. I mean, there was some of this after Brett Favre. It was like, okay, that, you know, it's not Aaron Rodgers, not good. He's not here yet. Is there a chance? Nope, not a chance. Not a chance. Aaron Rodgers is great. But now we're in the window, Gabe. We're all in this window together. So I don't know. Maybe if he throws for 400, then we can talk. If you could allow me to up the ante just a little bit, I would do that because there's only so many Bears quarterbacks ever that have thrown for 400 yards.
I think there was only like 7 400-yard games last year.
Jim Miller being one of them in Bears history to throw for 400.
Shout out Jim Miller. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Harold out in Romeoville. Harold, if Justin Fields has an above-average game but the Bears lose to the Packers, is that still a win?
Justin Fields threw 514 yards and the Bears lost, it's still an L. The only team that can lose this year and be a W for the Bears is if the Panthers lose, right? This is the Packers, Jordan Love. It's a referendum on who is the next quarterback up in the NFC North.
It is a referendum. It's a great call. It's a great point by you all around right there.
Accountability, and I like it. We got to be accountable.
Uh-huh.
If we're going to lose, we're going to lose. Justin Fields, it's a team. I like that. Okay. Because that's what he's saying, right. Ultimately, right?
Loss is loss. And
504. Because let me tell you something. If Justin Fields throws for 514 yards, that's a win for me.
That is so true.
That's yeah. A dub.
Well, yeah, I got to say that's a win for me,
Bears,
too.
Super Bowl.
I appreciated the call.
Like 514 yards?
He was right, though, about the Carolina thing. That's Carolina
the only
losses.
One that's a loss. Yeah, you're right.
I feel bad for Carolina, like that they have to.
Why?
Like, imagine that. Like, think about an entire fan base that rooting against the whole city, and we're not one of the small cities, rooting bad things for your football
There's
team.
There's going to be Bears fans in Carolina going to games.
You're absolutely right.
Cheering for them when they lose against every
100%.
Team. 100%.
Awesome. And they're going to be like, what do we do?
Let's go to Josh out in West Loop. Josh, you should be partying, dude. It's like 7 o'clock. It's like the best time to be in the West Loop.
Hey guys,
what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
Is it a win or is it a loss if Justin Fields plays well, but the Bears lose?
Nah, I got to say he could throw for like 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns, and it would still be an L. Even more just because it's Jordan Love, man. Like I was telling your guy, I was like, man, I was listening to the one time when Jordan Love he started the first game for Aaron Rodgers. Chris Collinsworth, man, he wouldn't go to bat for him. He was like, oh, this guy's a nice guy. You know, this guy got all the skills. That's all you need to know. I can throw you stats. I can throw you whatever. That's all you need to know, man.
That's all you need to know.
You're in love, you might as well retire.
Damn, that sucks, man. Josh sounded like he was at the gym.
Right oh.
There at the West Loop Athletic Club. Heard Wade's smacking around over there.
We sure that wasn't a former NFL tight end? That works with you occasionally here at the Score?
Clay Harbor was with them. Maybe put on a little accent.
That was Clay Harbor. Pumping the irons. He's never without an iron in his hand, is he?
A win is a win.
Yeah.
You got a little loss is a loss. I get 1,000. Come on, guys. 1,000. Let's be very real. When you're going to call in, I understand the argument that you're making, but you cannot see 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns. Because if Justin Fields has 1,000 yards and 1,000 touchdowns, that's a win, bro.
Yeah, now we're getting crazy.
We
here.
Have a good quarterback.
We done lost our minds here.
And our defense is horrible.
Yeah.
If he throws.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do hope that if that happens, where you know, your scenario here.
Because what if it's a close game, Groats? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, that is
like,
a close game.
That is a close
27-21,
game.
27-21. I mean, I'm thinking that there's late consequences in that game.
Defense is.
Oh, here's another caveat I just thought of.
I love these.
What if, here's what would also make it, because I've given you my answer, it's not a win, but I'll even add this because this is the real nightmare. It's not just Jordan Love outplays Justin Fields because they win. What if it's a late touchdown?
By Jordan Love?
Yeah, like a late touchdown drive, like what Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre did for 3 decades. I keep adding decades. Is it 3 decades? How long? Yeah, that's not wrong. It's not wrong.
Okay, you're adding some good ones in here.
I am adding some good ones. So that's why I am...
when you add good ones, it makes me want to increase Justin Fields' performance.
Hmm.
Even though Josh and others have said it doesn't matter if he throws for 500 yards. But
I'm not with that.
Because
if Justin throws for 500 yards, then there's no way the Bears are only scoring 20. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But if you... all right, let's go to Nick in Rock Falls. Nick, talk me out of this, because I think if Justin Fields has a good game... I have faith in Eberflus and the coaching staff to adjust. And, you know, if you lose the first game, it doesn't necessarily take you out of playoff contention. But if Jordan Love beats Justin Fields, is that a loss for you no matter what?
I think that at this point with Bears football, it's about legacy. There's a new quarterback in town in the Green Bay, and I just feel like if you start off with a loss in week one against the Packers – it's just even if Justin Fields throws, I feel like a realistic stat line for him is like 300 yards and like 50 rushing with 2 or 3 touchdowns, one even by him rushing. I just don't see it. Even if he plays like that, I just don't think that that's a good way to start your season out, especially a division rival.
All right, thanks for the call. I got to be honest, guys, and this is something that is shocking to me. I will be sad if the Bears lose to the Packers on Sunday. Like sad, like legit sad. Like don't talk to me on Monday sad, right? But I genuinely, as I'm hearing these numbers, like Nick just pointed out, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. If the Bears lose to the Packers on Sunday, and I get it, the start of something new, right? You want to feel good about the direction you're headed in. But damn, we should be concerned about Justin Fields and his progression. And if he puts on a performance like that, so be it. Bears still have another offseason to improve their team around Justin Fields. And I can't see myself being that sad. Sad because, like everyone's saying, it's the start of something new and Jordan Love and blah, blah. But happy still that Justin Fields had 300 yards and three tutties.
Well, what's going on is what I knew would happen. I think I've talked about it with you several times, that no matter what happened last year, no matter how bad the reports have been throughout this training camp, no matter what the common sense expectations are for the team, which would be the 3 or 4 or 5 more wins, Bears fans expect to win. They expect to win.
I have been saying that too.
I have been saying that, and we have arrived. My people
Bears
are out tonight, man.
Bears are 3-5. It's going to be a problem, Gabe.
It's going to be a problem.
That's exactly what
Thank you. I appreciate you remembering that. Thank you.
I remember even the record as well. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Would love to hear your Bears thoughts. Want to take them for a little bit more. Going to play some audio as well from the guys before we head on out to our next segment. But again, 312-644-6767. Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez. Taking your Bears thoughts after the break here on 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.